big show for you here today. Ray Garvin joins the show to break down everything you need to know about this year's NFL draft running back class. We got Jeremiah Love at the top, special player, no question. How special is he? We go deep on who Jeremiah Love is as a player. Then we talk about the rest of the class. A lot of interesting names here. We've got Mike Washington, Jadarian Price, Nicholas Singleton, both of the Penn State backs, and Jonah Coleman. We also talk about Jonah Coleman, who's a really interesting player. And then Jonah Coleman joins me for a really good conversation to wrap up this episode. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. Our prospect preview series continues rolling on here. This particular day, we are going to be breaking down the running back class, and joining me to do just that is, as he will be here pretty much every Thursday leading up to the NFL draft, it is our guy, Ray Garvin. Ray, what's going on, man?
Man, it is a, I love how you say that. It's a great day. It's a good day. We're talking running backs, 2026 NFL draft. Matt, we're a few weeks away from the draft actually, you know, kicking off and starting and getting through all of that. It's fun, man. And, you know, we did the quarterbacks last week, talked through that. But now we're getting the guys that no matter what we think about the class as a whole, no matter what we think about it compared to 25 or what might be in 27, running backs matter. It's the NFL. So many teams are deploying two or three running backs. So even if these guys don't align with the caliber of some guys from the past, you said it in the pre-show, like they're going to matter for us in fantasy football.
I think what I actually said to you when we were texting about this before the show is that here's the deal. No matter how good we think this class is, excuse my language here, family show, but some of these guys are going to fall ass backwards into being fantasy relevant because that's just the way the running back position is, man. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, who would have thought Kyren Williams at one point would be one of the most productive running backs in the NFL? Who would have thought fifth rounder Bucky Irving? I know people liked him, but fifth rounder Bucky Irving was going to come in and have this awesome, you know, borderline elite rookie season in his fantasy rookie debut. So it's just like, that's what happens. Like, yes, talent of course matters, and we're going to talk about these guys as talents on this show, but so much, Ray, of what happens at this position in fantasy in particular is all about opportunity. It's about match with the scheme, and you know, it's also chaos too. Like, so one of these guys this year could land on a depth chart where a couple of players get hurt ahead of him, and he's got to start for a month for a really good team. And that's the, like, those type of guys are the ones we're going to try to find here on this particular show.
100%. And you know it just like I know it, and probably all of our viewers know it. Where do they land? There will be teams. I mean, I'm looking across the board right now, and you look at an offense like Seattle, Emmanuel Wilson, he wouldn't be stopping me from trying to upgrade the running back position there. In Seattle, George Helani and, you know, Zach Charbonnet coming off the ACL tear. Najee Harris is looking for work. Pittsburgh needs another running back after losing Kenneth Gainwell. So many of these teams are going to need pieces in this backfield. And as you alluded to, opportunity is king. But I will say, as we get into the show, there was somebody here who had Kyren Williams rated very, very high in 2022, despite the fact that he ran a slow 40 times. So I'm not going to say who, but the receipts are out there. Oh, there was somebody on the screen very high on Kyren coming out.
Well, it wasn't rusher perception guy over here. Let's just say that it was not me. So I think you can use process of elimination there to figure out which one it is and figure out by that who you should be listening to most during the next hour plus of this show. Here's what we're going to do today. As mentioned, we're going to go through these prospects. Every player here, we're going to dive into. We've got Jeremiah Love at the top, but we've got a bunch of other guys to talk about too. We've got his teammate, Jadarian Price. We've got Mike Washington Jr. of that blazing fast 40. We've got Emmett Johnson. We've got Jonah Coleman to break down. Speaking of which, at the end of the show, we're going to say goodbye to Ray. He's going to hop off here, and Jonah Coleman is going to jump on. We had a great sit down earlier this week, he and I, so you guys will really enjoy listening to that conversation. I will go ahead and spoil it here. Jonah's a delight. It was a great conversation, so make sure you stay tuned through the whole show so you get that. But without further ado, Let's dive into it here. And just before we get into Jeremiah Love at the top in particular, Ray, do you kind of share the view that this is a class of one, you know, at the top, and then it's kind of everybody else, or just like break this down, this class in particular, put it into perspective. Like, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, this is definitely a class where, and I want to be very clear about this because I've gotten some questions. Well, is Jeremiah Love in the tier of his own because the rest of the class is so weak and he's clearly the best one of the group, or would he clear in prior classes? I mean, he would have cleared in any damn class going back to 2019, 2018. He would have been one of the top running backs in every single one of them. I'm not saying that he would have 100% gone ahead of Bijan or Gibbs, or 100% would have been drafted ahead of Aston Jeanty, but he would have been in the conversation for one of the top running backs over the last 10 years. That's how talented he is as a rusher and a receiver out of the backfield. As far as the rest of the class, it's a down class. It is a down class where a lot of these guys, it's going to depend on where they land, the type of opportunity they'll be afforded early on in their career. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to have a role at the next level, or could be sneaky good for us, depending on where they land. But it is absolutely a one-man guy at the top with Jeremiah Love, and he would clear in any draft class over the last 10 years, not a question about it.
Yeah, just to put it into perspective, to kind of outline numbers-wise what Ray's talking about here, on the consensus board at mockdraftdatabase.com, like, there is only two running backs in the top 50 consensus prospects. It is Jeremiah Love and his teammate Jadarian Price, and Price is barely hanging on there. Like, I would strongly bet that we're only going to get one first round running back. We might only get one running back selected in the top 50 picks. We'll see where the rest of these backs go on day two of the NFL draft. And then it will again come down to landing spot and how they fit with their teams in terms of who's rising in your dynasty rookie drafts after we get through the end of April here. But let's jump into it. Let's talk about Jeremiah Love at the top. You said it. He would be the top, or competing for the top, in any class. I just think this guy is such a special player, man. I'm with you that he is that caliber of back. I think he is, you know, no disrespect to Aston Jeanty, obviously was awesome coming into last year's draft class, but I think Jeremiah Love is better than Aston Jeanty. I feel pretty strongly in that. I think he's the type of back that's more of a home run hitter than Jeanty. But talk to people through, just now that we've set that expectation that this guy is a stud. He's awesome. Like, where, just give us the rest of the outline. Like, what makes Jeremiah Love's game so good?
Yeah, he's an incredible player. And his story and the background of where he came from and how he got to the position that he's in is even better. He has been very open about suffering and struggling with ADHD as a young child. Mm. And his father would talk about this, you know, when he played. He was a little different, a little quiet, even going to Notre Dame. He had kind of told the recruiting coach, hey, I know Jeremiah might be a little different, but just let him be him. And there was a report, a story on ESPN that dropped on College Game Day. His very first touch of his football career in Pop Warner went for like an 80-something yard touchdown run on his very first touch. And one of his most impactful touches that really kind of put him on the map in college football came 2 years ago in the college football playoff against Indiana, where he had that ridiculous 90-something yard touchdown run. And to see that maturation come kind of full circle for Jeremiah Love is really cool. You see on the screen right here, player comparisons to Jahmyr Gibbs, 199 carries. You see the 4.36 40-yard dash, and I'll tell you right now, I knew he was fast. I didn't think he was that fast. I mean, 4.36, that is ridiculous type of speed. The thing that I love most about him, two things, Matt. One, the wear and tear is limited. You're talking about a player who for his career touched the ball probably close to as much as Aston Jeanty did in one season as Jeremiah Love over his career. So you've got a lightly used Ferrari waiting for your NFL team. It is just chilling, ready to go. But then more importantly, on the field, I always, always, always talk about the difference between running backs who can catch passes and running backs who can be deployed as pass-catching weapons. At 6 foot, 200 and close to 15 pounds, Jeremiah Love is the type of back that can be deployed as a pass catching weapon, which just offers so much more versatility for an NFL offense. It stresses defensive coordinators because now I got to defend it against this guy running up the A gap, the B gap. But then when they split him out, if they put him on option routes out of the backfield, who am I going to have to counter and answer the questions that Jeremiah Love is going to present to this defense? He's an awesome, awesome running back. He's good between the tackles. He's good in space. He's got home run speed. The only thing I don't want him to do is jump so damn much. Stop leaping over folks. He gets on the sideline and he's hurt. Just keep both feet on the ground, Jeremiah Love. Keep both feet on the ground. But this is, and what I want people not to do is get bored and tired of talking about great players. He is a great prospect in a class that may not have the type of depth that we saw last year in 2025, but this is a great player, and we should be really excited for him in fantasy football next year.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think there are spots here where he could end up being, what, like a top 15 pick in fantasy, like redraft leagues next year. I'm curious where you would like to see him go. My favorite spot, as we're kind of showing on the screen here, has been that 7th overall pick to the Washington Commanders. Been kind of talking about that since the combine. It's funny, Ray, you know, when we were all at the combine for Yahoo, I remember we did our first edition of Mock Draft Monday. I was like, let's go through the exercise of what would happen here, you know, if he fell down the draft, like fell out of the top 10, teams of the top 10 don't take him for whatever reason. You know, what if he fell all the way to like Minnesota at 18? And then that was, the show aired after, but we recorded it before he ripped off that 4.36. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, we're going to put that show out there. And it's just going to look so stupid for me to even think he could possibly fall that far in this draft. No chance it's going to happen, especially not in this class with the lack of like premium position players. So do you agree with me that in the right spot, he could be like a top 15 redraft pick? And do you think like there is a spot for him that you would really love to see?
Absolutely. I do think there are people who are going to have a little rookie running back PTSD from Ashton Jeanty and the high expectations that we had of him. But those feelings are, I think they're valid, right? It's okay to feel that way, but these are two different players. They're two different players who played at two different conferences. And you may not agree with it today, or you're like, oh, people are just, but there were some people who were a little skeptical of Ashton Jeanty last year. There were some people that said, hey, he's tearing up the Mountain West, but I would really like to see a full body of work and some stronger competition for him. We didn't get that, obviously. But Jeremiah Love is definitely going to be in that range to be a top 15 pick. And based on how the board sits today, if he lands in a spot like Washington, and let's just say the Saints are like, we don't give a damn that we signed Travis Etienne. We're taking him. He fell to us. Or a team like that. I still think that there is enough offensively to go around to where this is going to be a really good player. I would love to see him in Washington as well. I put a short out in January mocking Jeremiah Love to the Commanders, and all the Commanders fans, wasted pick, we don't need him, we've got Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, yada, yada, yada. Right after the combine. Please. Right after the combine. The comments under that post started to shift quite a bit. I think that would be a great
sentiment change.
Yeah. I think that would be a great spot for him. Matt, I also think the Giants at 5, man. I think New York at 5 could also be a dope spot. It seems like right now a lot of fans and a lot of the mock experts are kind of zeroing in on Tennessee, but I ran a fresh mock from about 45 plus mock draft experts, not me and this person and my friend doing our mocks, but mock draft experts, Daniel Jeremiah's, Jordan Reed's, and kind of sim that. He's still not the projected favorite at Tennessee. It's still looking like D-line is the favorite right now amongst the draft experts, but that is a common spot that you hear for Jeremiah Love as well in Tennessee.
Yeah, 4th or 5th pick is very live, just because, again, I think teams are going to sit there and say, hey, this guy's just so good, and we don't have the typical blue chip top 10 type prospects at offensive tackle or, you know, edge rusher. Once you get to a certain point, that we're just going to go ahead and take the guy who is instantly going to bring some juice to our offense. I think the Commander spot for me, what just comes, it is kind of why I wish casted so much, is because I think it is very instructive, the Ashton Jeanty experience, that I think he was a good player in the NFL in year one. You just didn't get to see it a lot because that Raiders situation was such a disaster. And for Washington, they're not as good of a team. Like, you know, we went to the NFC Championship as they did in Jaden Daniels' rookie season. They weren't like that good of a team, even though they made it there. You know, they had some lucky breaks along the way, but they're not bad. Like, they're not as bad as picking seventh overall. Like, it's somewhere in the middle here. And I think that type of team, I'm actually pretty optimistic about Washington this year. Love famous last words. So I lean more towards positive. And I think that that would be why it would be a good spot there for him to land. Cause it's just running backs, man, are very sensitive to their team environment. They're very sensitive to just the surroundings overall. And I think they've got a pretty good ecosystem brewing there. So, last thing before we move off of the Jeremiah Love Fest, any just kind of players that he reminds you of, just so people can again get like a glimpse of that?
Yeah, I think Jahmyr Gibbs was one that popped up on the screen. A lot of similarities to their game and their style. But from a rushing standpoint, I kind of went back. I went back to the past a little bit. Really, really reminds me when he's toting the rock between the tackles, when he's making moves in space, of Clinton Portis. And how good he was when he was coming out of Miami. And a lot of people hear that name and they're like, oh my God, Clinton Portis. And then you look and the dude was just a walking thousand piece for, I think, seven straight seasons. He was a 1,000-yard rusher in the NFL and one of the better running backs in the NFL during his time. But he would be like Clinton Portis times Jahmyr Gibbs because he's a much better receiving running back than Clinton Portis. But just body style, how they run on the ground, really looks like that Portis that we got when he was traded from Denver to Washington back some years ago. So Clinton Portis kind of meets Jahmyr Gibbs in the receiving game is my comparison play style wise for Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, Clinton Portis, he ripped off a crazy 40 at his NFL, like way back in the day, 4.42 at 204 pounds. Those were his pre-draft measurables from the combine. He was a track and field star at high school. I've seen a lot of Clinton Portis growing up in the Northern Virginia area. I saw a lot of him on some really ugly Washington teams. So I know Clinton Portis well. That's a good comparison. Mine was going to be like actually a slightly smaller Todd Gurley is who he kind of reminds me of. He's maybe not as like overwhelmingly powerful as Gurley could be, but I think as pass catchers, bigger backs, and it's funny, I remember meeting Todd Gurley and talking to him, you know, like I think it was going into the 2019 season or so. I think he had kind of slimmed down at that point because he was so explosive as a pass catcher, and I think he probably was because he was listed over 220, like 6'1". At that point, I think he probably was closer to like 6'2", 212, which is what Jeremiah Love is listed at. And I just think like the way they can be weaponized as pass catchers, as you mentioned, like get him out in the flat and just the amount of times Todd Gurley would just be swinging out of the backfield and Jared Goff's just, okay, there's my check down. Boom. That goes for like 20 plus yards. I think Jeremiah Love could have a very similar effect in the NFL. So a lot of good names there.
Yeah. Can I ask you this real quick, Matt? What differentiates him and Ashton Jeanty for you? Because not you, but there were people like that's a generational running back out of Boise State, right? The broken tackles. He beat Bijan Robinson's missed tackle. What is the difference? And how do we, I don't want to say justify, but to let people know that we're not being prisoner of the moment. Like, no, this is a better running back prospect, in my opinion, in your opinion, then Ashton Jeanty. What separates those guys for you?
I think the ability to hit home runs is just what it is. And like Jeanty, obviously, I think can make those plays. I mean, some of his best plays, ironically, Ray, I believe when we talked him down going to that Texans game, that's where he made some of his biggest plays in the NFL. But that, like, again, just which is crazy to think back on. Never going to forget that was of all the games, that was the one that Ashton Jeanty actually knocked me out of a playoff matchup as well. So justice was served there to us on that one. But yeah, I think that the ability to like really hit home runs more consistently with Jeremiah Love, like there's just more explosiveness there. I think downfield receiving capabilities are more in Jeremiah Love's favors, and that's again, we're not saying that Ashton Jeanty's a really damn good back and can stack up like missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle in that like short area of the field that can then create those long plays. But for Jeremiah Love, like if you just hypothetically talk about those swing passes out of the backfield, if I'm going to bet that one of those guys is going to get you 40 yards untouched, like I think that's more so Love than an Ashton Jeanty type.
Agreed.
All right, let's get to we spent almost like 20 minutes talking about Jeremiah Love, which I like that you said at the top. We don't want to get bored of good players. On this show, we're not just going to be like, okay, Fernando Mendoza, he's the number one quarterback. Let's keep moving. Hey, Jeremiah Love, number one. Like, we're going to talk about the good players on the show. But let's talk about a few other players here. Let's actually talk about his teammate, Jeremiah Love's teammate at Notre Dame, Jadarian Price, 5'11", 203. Obviously, shared the backfield with a Jeremiah Love. What can people expect out of Jadarian Price? And do you have any reservations at like making the fact that this guy is maybe the second best back in the class when he shared a backfield with another player?
All year, I was in on him as the RB2. I was like, this is the second best running back. You watched him play. And when you're watching the feel of the game, every time he was on the field, which he wasn't on there a ton because Jeremiah Love is so good. I mean, he was making plays. Notre Dame's finding ways to get him the ball. Excellent kick returner. Absolutely dynamic. FBS leading almost 38 yards a kick return in 2025. And his story to get to where he is, a lot of people don't know, but he tore his Achilles tendon prior to even stepping on field at Notre Dame. So coming in as a freshman, he had to recover from that, work his way on the field. And he probably could have transferred three or four times to other places and be a lead guy, but he stayed. They nicknamed him the vet there. He did all the dirty things that Notre Dame needed him to do. And when he got the ball out of the backfield, he was very explosive. He was very dynamic. The same level of juice and speed and feel for defenders that you see on kick returns, it showed up in the backfield. And I don't know how many of y'all have returned kicks, but it's a hard thing to do. I mean, there's a lot of chaos coming a million miles an hour. So to have that kind of in your skill set, you see some of that kick return ability when he's running the ball. But that doesn't mean he's perfect, right? And we'll talk about a couple of other running backs where if you said, Ray, I kind of like Mike Washington a little bit more. I'm not going to push you hard on that. I kind of like Jonah Coleman a little bit more. I won't push you too hard on that one. 4.28 yards after contact from him last season. He's very patient, 6.0 yards per carry for his career, which shows you he's got some juice and he's got some speed. Ball security issues are a little bit of a problem for Jadarian Price. Limited opportunity in the receiving game, which is more scary for me because he's only 5'11", 200 pounds, and you're talking about a smaller running back that can't catch passes. He's not very good in pass protection. I think I'm not sure if he is the guy that should be pegged in and penciled in as the second best running back in this class, but I do like Jadarian Price a lot.
Yeah, with running backs, it's another kind of flavor thing, similar at wide receiver. And I do think like not some people are going to have those guys, like you mentioned, Coleman or Washington, who we'll talk about here in just a moment, kind of in that grouping here. I think it's interesting when you look at Price that, yeah, the journey is interesting. The Achilles tear that you mentioned, I think his athletic measurables are kind of similar to what I think. Like, he didn't have a bad 40 by any means, but 4.49, I was maybe expecting a little bit faster. But his broad jump, 82nd percentile, according to Mock Draftable, like, that to me is kind of where he really made, like, the explosiveness, like, the ability to get right off is there. Kind of, you had a comp, I think, here that makes a lot of sense for him. I was thinking of, like, Felix Jones as one of his athletic comparables, you know, who was another guy that was the second running, or was second-ish running back in that class behind Darren McFadden, and those guys were teammates at Arkansas. I think that obviously anecdotally makes sense as a comparable, but I also just kind of think, like, that might be the type of back he is in the NFLs. Like, he's not really much of a pass catcher, doesn't have a ton of history as a pass catcher, but is more of like an early down explosion type. That's sort of what I see Jadarian Price being, which, by the way, could end up being a really good NFL player. It's just going to come down to kind of the situation.
Yeah, I think Felix Jones is a fine comparison for him. The running style for me is very reminiscent to another Notre Dame running back, not Kyren Williams, but Julius Jones. You got to go back to 2004, I believe. Second round pick of the Dallas Cowboys, very good runner. He had a 1,000-yard season once in his career. They've got roughly about the same body type, same style. Julius Jones could catch the ball, but nobody that you would consider a true pass-catching weapon, and that's the difference. You've got two running backs, same backfield, both of them very good runners of the football, one of them an elite receiving back. The other one, we didn't see it as much from Jadarian Price. I don't really know if that's his skill set. He's not as fluid of an athlete as Jeremiah Love is. I like Price a lot. Coming into the process, I was like, this is the RB2. Talked about Felix Jones and Darren McFadden, two teammates drafted in round one. You go back to Auburn when they had Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. Both of those guys were top five picks from the same school. Not going to happen here with these guys, but to see those pairings, Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber a little bit later on in the same draft, I really like Price, but I'm not all the way there right now with him being the second best back in the class.
Can I just say, Ray, you're absolutely crushing it with these like mid-2000s running back comps. These are like the backs we grew up on. That's number one. So that's pretty cool. Like Clinton Portis, Julius Jones, NFC East, tearing it up when we were in like high school or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. By the way, chat.
Age, Harmon, we're showing our age here, man.
I don't know, man. It's not great. But hey, by the way, anyone in the chat who has returned kicks, let us know. Since Ray said I'm not sure how many of you guys have returned any kicks out there, let us know if we have any former kick returners in the class. I don't know if you ever returned kicks, Ray. I certainly was not in the kick returner mold when I was in high school, that's for sure. Yeah, but so when we talk about Jerrion Price, 48th overall in the consensus board, there's a decent gap between him and the next couple guys we're going to talk about, but I'm with you that I think that's probably a tighter bunch in that it's not a clear consensus that Price is the second, especially after just kind of the process and everything. I think there might be some guys who prefer different backs out there. And on that note, we're going to take our first quick break. And when we come back, we've got more running backs to talk about. We've got the aforementioned Mike Washington and Jonah Coleman. We'll get into those guys right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to preview the 2026 NFL draft running back class. We talked through the two Notre Dame guys, but Ray, these next two guys we're going to talk about here are kind of in the same sort of bucket, I would say. Let's start with Mike Washington out of the University of Arkansas. I am fascinated to talk about him as a player on the football field. 6'1", 223. Big back, no question, and this guy can move, Ray Garvin, as he showed us at the NFL Scouting Combine. He can run 97th percentile in the 40-yard dash at the NFL Scouting Combine, according to Mock Draftable. That was a 4.33 40, 91st percentile vertical jump, 93rd in the broad jump. 10-yard split was 86th percentile. Again, the height and weight are big. You look at his, like, if you go to mockdraftable.com, he has just the biggest, fattest spider chart you've ever seen in the entire world. Everything is out there because he checks a lot of boxes athletically. Even arm length is 99th percentile for him. So he's a big guy. He's explosive. He can move, at least on the track in Indy. He can move, okay? His most comparable athletic player, Ray Garvin, according to Mock Draftable, is Adrian Peterson.
Don't you do it, you know? Yes, sir.
Yeah, just, and not, by the way, we had the whole Brian Robinson, Bijan Robinson confusion earlier in the week. Boone and I broke that down on the show. We're not talking about the other Adrian Peterson with the Bears. We're talking about Minnesota Vikings, legendary running back, top pick in the NFL draft, Adrian Peterson out of Oklahoma in 2007. That's the one we're talking about. Now, talk to us about Mike Washington, the player on the football field, now that I've talked about the athletic highlights.
Mike Adrian Peterson Washington, man.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. 6'1", 4.33 is fast. Like, I knew he was fast, but this is like, that's just stupid speed. Like, why are you that fast? Why are you that damn fast, Mike Washington? But great season in the SEC, over 1,000 yards. His career path as well. He didn't just get fast, right? Like, it just didn't happen overnight. And despite some of the physical gifts and the athleticism, lightly recruited. One-star, two-star recruit. No P5 offers at the time. It wasn't P4, P5. No P5 offers. So he started his career out at Buffalo. Then he transferred to New Mexico State. Then he transferred to Arkansas, where finally he had that 1,000-yard season, kind of put it all together for a team that really wasn't going anywhere, led by Talen Green. But his skill set he's a downhill hammer. I mean, he if he gets the ball north and south and there isn't a lot in his way, it's probably going to be it's going to be rough out there for defenders. You see right here, 9.87 relative athletic score, 29th out of 2,100 plus running backs from 1987 through this year. He's a physical runner, and that's evidenced by the yards after contact. 60.2% yards after contact for him, only 8 career drops, so he's got reliable hands. He's a one-cut runner, so I can understand why people think when they see this bigger, faster, more explosive one-cut downhill runner, that is some AP-esque type movement skills on the field. So I understand the enthusiasm. I understand the hype and the potential if he lands in a really good spot, what he could become if he gets some opportunity.
Yeah, you said one cut runner. I'd almost say he's just like a one speed runner, which is just, it's all go. There's never any, I mean, even it's like, did we get one cut or did we just get one down the, like, as you said, downhill, there he goes type of runner. Very interesting player. A couple of stats from JJ Zacharyson's late round prospect guy that I thought was really interesting. Despite the size, he ranked bottom 5 in the class in missed tackles forced per attempt, according to Pro Football Focus, and his 15 plus yard run rate was also below average in this class. So it's interesting, despite, and I think this speaks to some of what we're saying here, despite the speed, he didn't have a lot of explosive runs, and despite the frame, he doesn't necessarily break a lot of tackles. And then you kind of have to ask yourself, is that because there's a lack of nuance in his game? Is it a little bit of he doesn't play to the size? Or again, is it just, like I said, it's a little bit of he needs to develop more as a true running back? And does he go to a place where he gets, where one, it's either one, he has the patience of the coaching staff to develop those things, or two, does he go to a place where he can kind of, it's the system set up to just be that, hey, we're going to bust a lane for you. It is one cut and go. As long as you're timely on that cut, you'll have the lane. So these are some of the things that while we're sitting here saying, like, oh yeah, he compares to Adrian Peterson. He's got all these, we showed the mock draftable chart earlier. Like, he's got all these explosive traits, but it doesn't necessarily show up into true, like, dominant running back form, which is why he's not going in the first round. These are some of the questions, Ray, that people have to ask.
Yeah, and everything that you said is accurate. If he can get into a system with a team that will allow him to do that, I don't think what you want Mike Washington doing is trying to go out there and create on his own, going out there and being the guy from day one. Can he just go in and do the things that he does well, right? That's really what you want from Mike Washington. Let him, whether it's one cut or one speed, just have him do that. Have him do that thing. He's not the type of running back that I think you want to be your pass-catching weapon. We talked about that, difference between running backs who can catch him and be deployed as a pass-catching weapon. Probably not what you want to do with him. And more concerning than anything, Matt, ball security. Ball security. You have to be able to take care of the pill. It's the most important thing on a football field. And you're talking about a player over the past 2 years has had 7 lost fumbles, and over the course of his career, depending on the service you're looking at, he's got 10 plus lost fumbles in his career. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how fast you are, any of that stuff. If you can't take care of the pill when your job is to take care of the rock, you know, they say no block, no rock. If you drop it, you ain't getting it either. So he's got to be able to hold on to the football to allow some of his God-given ability and that natural athleticism and speed to shine. Because I can tell you this, there probably are NFL teams that can use a running back with his type of skill set, even if it's not in a feature role. And the good thing about the game that we play of fantasy football is you can score me points without touching the ball 30 times. If you're in the right system and you're deployed the right way and you've got the right skill set, you can be an efficient player in the league. It's just there is some level of projection there with Mike Washington Jr.
Yeah, no question. I said to you before the show that your comparisons were really good for this episode. This isn't the one that I thought was just like absolutely perfect, but this is a good just sort of encapsulation for what we might be looking at here. Your ceiling comparison for him was not Adrian Peterson. It was Raheem Mostert. I think that's perfect for a guy like this. You know, big back with speed who was – not super nuanced as a rusher, but just could use that explosiveness in the right situation, in the right systems, as we saw with like San Francisco, we saw with Miami. That's definitely what you're hoping for there. Or is he Kalen Ballage? That was your floor comp, and I think that makes a lot of sense. That was another guy that the fantasy community got super excited about. Like, is he the next David Johnson? Because, by the way, remember David Johnson? What a great player. I'll never forget David Johnson. That's one of my fantasy teams in like 2015, 2016. That was a good time to be alive. But anyways, 2016. Who knows? Anyways, Kalen Ballage, that was the guy who was like, is he the next David Johnson? He was not. He was not a good NFL player. So I think that's perfect in just kind of the range that we're looking at here with a guy like Mike Washington. Let's get to our next player here, who is the complete opposite of a guy like Mike Washington. Our guy, Jonah Coleman, who, again, I'm going to be talking to later in the show. 5'8", 220, out of the University of Washington, so he does not have the size-speed combination of Mike Washington, but Jonah Coleman, pretty interesting running back. Your thoughts on Coleman as a potential NFL draft pick here?
There was a point in time where I was like, man, this guy could be one of the top backs in this class, no doubt about it. Watching him at Arizona, the thing that jumped off the tape early was the physicality. He's a no-nonsense runner. If you come up there and you don't have your lunch pail with you, if you don't have your pants strapped up tight, he's gonna make you pay. He's 5'8", 220, man. You better have the belt on because he's coming with bad, bad intentions. Physical runner, downhill runner, better in space with catching the ball than maybe you look at his body type and give him credit for. Really, really good hands out of the backfield. And he followed Jed Fish. A lot of people thought he would stay at Arizona. He took his talents to Washington, and it paid off well for him. Back-to-back seasons where he was really good. And I know this past year, the numbers dropped, at least from the rushing production standpoint, a little bit. Washington was kind of a mess this year, but Jonah Coleman still 15 touchdowns, 5 yards a pop, can catch the ball out of the backfield, 5'8", 220. He's a bowling ball of muscle and bad intentions. I like Jonah Coleman, Matt. I am a fan of Jonah Coleman, even if some of the steam and the shine and the allure of what he may have been a little bit earlier is worn off. He's still a damn good football player.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he had a little bit of a PCL injury his senior year as well. So that's obviously something. Hey, if you played fantasy football this year, you know about how annoying PCL injuries can be for some of these skill position players. So had a little bit of something there his senior season. But yeah, you mentioned it. Like, there's a lot to really like about his game. Again, I'm going to talk about this with Jonah later in the show. But like, takes pride in pass protection. He takes care of the rock. You mentioned this with Mike Washington. This guy fumbled once in his 4-year college career, and it happened this past year. So tons of proof of concept in terms of taking care of the football. He talks about how that's, you know, ball security's job security, as you mentioned that. So there's that. I think that's a big part of his game. Plus, like, he doesn't drop the football either. 0.9% drop rate in his collegiate career. So he definitely succeeds in, again, as I'm going to talk about with him, kind of the quieter parts of running back. But when you watch him as a rusher, like, he does some loud things pretty well too. You know, you mentioned he comes with those bad intentions, a little bit like Kyle Manungai this past year. Of his size comparables. Like, he's got that to him as well. I think he kind of reminds me maybe this isn't a perfect player comparison necessarily, and certainly Jonah has a little bit more pass catching chops to him than this guy did, but another Bears running back like Jordan Howard ended up just in the right spot, you know, where there was opportunity on the depth chart early on for him as a day 3 draft pick. We'll see. Coleman maybe could sneak his way into the 3rd round, which would be huge for like his dynasty projection if he's a 3rd round pick as opposed to a 4th rounder. But Jordan Howard, you know, I wouldn't say that he was necessarily like a, oh man, like he's a stud or anything necessarily, but he was a damn good running back for a little while. He had like 1,300 yards his rookie season, was pretty productive the next 2 seasons as well. So I think if Jonah lands in the right spot, he could certainly be somebody that is a post-draft riser, Ray.
Jordan Howard, great pull. I think Jonah Coleman is a better running back coming out of college than Jordan Howard was coming out of Indiana. I truly believe that. And I know that sometimes when people hear comparisons, it's like, well, if you're not Saquon Barkley, you stink. If you're not Bijan Robinson, there's no need for you in the NFL, and that's just not true. Do I think that right off the rip, based on where he's probably going to be drafted, let's say late day two, early day three, that he's going to have the opportunity from day one right off the bat to come in and lead a backfield? Probably not. And you know what? That's okay. There are so many running backs in the NFL right now today that didn't come in and have the backfield to themselves from day one, from a James Conner who had to wait behind Le'Veon Bell for a little bit. Kyren Williams didn't have the backfield to himself from day one when the Rams picked him in day three. His play style and body type is very reminiscent, and I mean this in a good way, of a player like Mike Davis. Mike Davis was more of a journeyman throughout his career. He spent a lot of time in a lot of different places, but smaller, compact, physical running back that was trusted enough to run the ball out of the backfield. But then you look, Mike Davis had two seasons with 45-plus receptions, right? In 2020 with Carolina, 59 receptions from Mike Davis, and in 2021 in Atlanta. Remember, and y'all remember that Atlanta year because the pictures,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Remember the big Quadzilla pictures of Mike Davis that year with the Falcons? So he's got some Mike Davis plus to his game. I think he's a better player than Mike Davis, but when I'm looking at coming into the NFL, where he may sort of be positioned to play like early on would be like prime. If you're telling me I'm getting 640-something yards, 500 yards from Jonah Coleman as a day three or a late day two running back, year one, I think that's a very positive thing for him based on the draft capital, his skill set. The only thing I was a little disappointed in is we didn't get to see that 40-yard dash time just to confirm what the speed is. But you know what? It's fine because that's not his game. He's not Devon Achane. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not one of those type of players. He's physical, downhill, no-nonsense runner. He's a good player.
Yeah, I like that Mike Davis comp a lot. He had over 1,000 total yards from scrimmage in that one season with Carolina as Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be his backup, and then McCaffrey got hurt that year, and he was one of the four players that went over 1,000 yards from scrimmage in the first year of the Joe Brady offense in the 2020 season with the Panthers. So I like that a lot, and I think, obviously, this is important, too. You guys will hear this when I talk to Jonah later. Wired the right way, too, so definitely a guy that's going to like really work for this. So hopefully he can find a successful home in the NFL. Let's talk about the two Penn State guys together. We'll go Nicholas Singleton first, Catron Allen second. I see you're already kind of like, not sure how you feel about these two guys. Let's start with Nick Singleton first. What do we think about the guy who was supposed to be the guy for Penn State this year, but had a little bit of chaos in his final season in college?
Just disappointing. It wasn't even this year, Matt. He was supposed to be the guy coming out of high school in 2021, 2022. This was supposed to be the next big thing, because you look at his size, 6'2", 220. I know he didn't get to do anything at the combine because he got hurt at the Senior Bowl, but this is a very, very good athlete. I'm not going to say he's 4.33 or 4.36 like Jeremiah Love or Mike Washington, but he is a sub 4.5 type guy. He's got athleticism, kick returner. He can catch the ball great out of the backfield. It never quite came together for Nicholas Singleton at Penn State. The hype, the enthusiasm, the expectation that a lot of people have from him. He was the number one running back in the entire 2022 class. Five-star Gatorade Player of the Year. I mean, people were saying this was going to be the best Penn State running back since Saquon Barkley. And a lot of people were like, he wasn't even the best Penn State back on his own roster over the past couple of years. So this is a tough one here because there is something there. Where's he going to land, and will he be able to put it together? We didn't get to see that for 4 years at Penn State, and I'm a little skeptical if we will ever see that in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the skepticism is warranted, but certainly somebody I would want to keep the light on for, because there's obvious talent there. And if he finds the right spot, if he gets drafted higher than we expect, it's a team that really believes in him. I think from a dynasty perspective, certainly someone that you should keep the light on. It's funny, I'll reference JJ's draft guide again, which JJ's the best like database prospector out there for all these positions. So like, I would totally endorse people check out his work. I'm going to be on his show talking about wide receivers next month. It's funny, by the way, like, JJ and I talk about this all the time with his wide receiver comps, where he'll share them with me beforehand. And I'm like, so crazy how these are all stat based comps. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? That's exactly how that guy plays like, too. And it's funny, like the production, and you know this as well with everything you're doing with the Trinity with wide receiver. Like sometimes it really does like just that's what the guy is on film, too. Like the comps are funny that way. He had one for CJ Nick Singleton here as CJ Procise. And I was like, that's exactly right. Like he could be that guy in the NFL where we're always waiting for it. Like it's about to happen. This guy's he's so talented, whatever. And then it just never quite comes together for him. But again, in the right spot, there's definitely some talent here, Ray. So I think we should leave the light on for Nicholas Singleton while understanding that it just never really came together in college.
I mean, you see the comps that I have for a lot of these guys that we're talking about as the probable day three type running backs. And the ceiling comp, I think, is pretty damn high. I've got Tony Pollard, right? And that's the type of player.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Where at Memphis, he shared a backfield. It took him a while in the NFL. But then you look up and he got the opportunity, he landed in the right spot. There were people who didn't believe that Tony Pollard could be a lead back. You don't move on from Zeke for Tony Pollard. Like you can't, he can't handle that. And his first year doing it, he was a 1,000-yard rusher. And you look up and he's at 1,000 yards for three, four straight seasons now. That's Tony Pollard. So the cards have to kind of land in the right order for him, but you absolutely keep the lights on because the talent is there. I just don't know why it didn't all come together at Penn State.
Yeah, it's a great like range, right? As you CJ Procise, we're always waiting for it. Or, yeah, you have to wait for it for a little bit for Tony Pollard, but eventually it does come together, and he's more than that second pitch. I like that comparison a lot. Let's talk about his backfield running mate here, Catron Allen, who 5'11", 216, definitely a different package at the running back position than his former teammate here. What do we like about Catron? What can we expect from his game?
Well, production for the first part, he produced. Unlike Nicholas Singleton, he produced. he was very good running back. He is what I would call, he's a good running back, right? He's a good college running back. That's when you watch Catron, there's nothing special. There's nothing special. He's physical. Mm-hmm. He's downhill. He's tough. He's available. He can catch the ball, but that's not his game. You don't want him in space. He is a north-south physical, sort of tone-setting type running back. And there's a reason why that he got to play. I think a lot of people thought that Nicholas Singleton would just bury this guy, and it would be almost to the degree how Jeremiah Love was viewed, Jadarian Price to the Jeremiah Love of this Penn State backfield. But a lot of the times it was like, it's 13 back there. It's Catron Allen. He's the lead dog in this backfield. When I watch him play, he's a smaller version of this, but again, another complementary running back, or at least skill set wise, than his running mate. But Lindell White, like every time I watch Catron Allen, I'm like, oh, this guy just reminds me of Lindell White out of USC. Now, White was 6'1", 235 pounds.
Yeah.
So much bigger player, but Allen doesn't have that top end speed. Yeah, right. Maybe. He doesn't have that top end speed. He doesn't have that explosiveness, right? That Nicholas Singleton and the lack of production that he has. But he's just consistent. He's got good contact balance, high floor, consistent producer, elite between the tackles, just a lot less juice than Nicholas Singleton.
Yeah, I think there were times where Lindell was a little bit bigger than 235. And certainly even then, that's bigger than a guy like Catron Allen. But, you know, what I wrote in my notes for Catron was this is definitely a guy that can eat grinder carries in the right spot. You know, where it's not the sexiest stuff in the world, right? Like there's it's funny, like him pairing with Singleton, it's just like that's the type of back I'm imagining. If it works out, like there's a more fun, explosive, like he gets to do all the cool stuff, whatever. And then you got to bring Catron in there to just eat those grinder carries, man, because somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to get those tough, rugged yards, but maybe doesn't put you up like 15, 17, 18 fantasy points or whatever in the box score for you, but it helps move an offense. So he's certainly like a guy that could end up being that. And that's obviously like, Lindell White was the supercharged version of that in that one year with Chris Johnson, or the couple of years with Chris Johnson where they went crazy together in Tennessee, but definitely was the guy in the backfield eating the grinder carries there. That's sort of, I think, what we can expect from Catron Allen coming to the NFL. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more running backs to run through from the 2026 NFL draft class. We'll get into that right after this. Mm-hmm. All right, we're back. We got a couple of more players to spotlight here from this class. Let's talk about Emmett Johnson here, Ray Garvin. Emmett Johnson is 5'10", 202 out of Nebraska. What's in his profile that people need to know?
Let me give you the big one. This past season, he was just the seventh Big Ten player since 1956 to have 1,400-plus rushing yards and 350-plus receiving yards in a single season. The only player over the past previous 20 years to do that, Saquon Barkley out of the Big Ten. So very, very good company for Emmett Johnson. Very good pass catcher. Led FBS in total rushing and receiving yards, depending on the reports or the sites that you look at. He's got a jitterbug style, got really good vision as far as the strengths, but the weaknesses are very glaring as well. I mean, you watch him, and I'm just like, there's no way. 4.56, I mean, that was, I was like, holy smokes, that's moving, because I thought he was like a 4.65 kind of speed. He doesn't have elite home run speed. I don't think he's really good in pass pro, but he's a fine running back, Emmett Johnson.
Yeah, I like the way that you kind of set that up there, that he's definitely got workhorse ability on his profile, right? We've seen that. I think he tracks the ball well, plays the ball well in the air. Just, again, history of volume. And any guy that has pass-catching ability, we have to note in fantasy football, because that's a way that, hey, if he's on the field and he's a pass-catcher, like, he might be able to carve out a role for himself and score us some points and the whole deal. I did think, Ray, that when he's on the second level, he's got some good vision, sets up blocks well. I think he breaks tackles well. Getting to that second level is a little bit of a journey. That was kind of my one note with him. Like, getting to that second level is a journey, but when he gets there, pretty interesting player. So a lot of variance, I would say, in a player like Emmett Johnson. And I really have no, like, it could go one way or another for him as an NFL player.
Yeah, that journey is like when you're stuck in rush hour traffic. Like, you could see home, but it just takes like an hour and a half to get there. That's Emmett Johnson trying to get to the second level. He's just stuck in traffic for a lot, but he's fine. He's fine.
The other guy that we're going to talk about here before we throw to our final break on the Yahoo Sports Network is Dumond Claiborne, who a little bit more juice in this guy. I'll tell you what, Ray, I'll go ahead and spoil it. I mentioned to you that you had a comp that was just perfect for a player. Your comp for Dumond Claiborne is absolute out of, by the way, running back out of Wake Forest, 5'10", 188. This was the one that when I was watching just the cut-ups on him, I'm like, this was the player I was thinking of. This is who he could be in the NFL. You nailed it perfectly. So let it rip. What do you got on Claiborne?
Yeah, Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell is the comparison for Dumond Claiborne. I mean, 4'3". And sometimes you don't see that show up on tape, but you do with this one. He is very explosive when he gets the ball. Good kick returner. He took one to the crib against Miami, who competed for a national championship this year. Not a big running back. Drops the ball quite a bit. He's not going to break a ton of tackles in traffic, but if he can find a crease and there's some daylight, he's got no problem getting to the second level, turning on the burners, and he will house it. So this is, fantasy loves these kind of backs, right? They
100%.
He catches the ball. He's a kick. He's speed. Like, this is the one, right? In training camp or those OTAs, depending on where he lands, just you want to keep this kind of archetype of player on your radar, because people will get excited for Dumond Claiborne.
That's why the Keaton Mitchell comp is so perfect. You've got people this offseason. And look, I mean, I'm going to keep my eye on it as well. But, Keaton Mitchell signs with the Chargers, Mike McDaniel's offense, all that speed. And maybe Mike will make it happen. I don't know. But Keaton Mitchell in Baltimore, it's the exact, like, cautionary tale of why this guy, people get so, like, why doesn't he get the football? Why does he get the football more? He's got all this explosive rushing ability. Well, just like we're saying, Claiborne, you don't really break a lot of tackles. You definitely can't use him in pass protection because he's freaking 188 pounds. He's gonna get crushed out there. And then with Claiborne, and I think this is true with Mitchell too. Like, Claiborne, like, fights the football, man. He's just not a natural pass catcher. Like, he's not useful in the pass game whatsoever. Guess what? You can't pass protect. You don't play special teams. You can't catch a football on third down. That means you don't get active on game day. And there were several times this past year where, Keaton Mitchell, cool, explosive player, wasn't even getting a jersey on game day for the Baltimore Ravens. So, this type of guy if everything comes together, the runway is clear, he can quite literally run with the opportunity. But a lot of things have to break right for an obviously fun and super explosive, twitchy player.
Yeah, he feels like, if I had to project it right now, he comes in and he's competing for that number three running back role on an NFL team. And they'll probably try to throw him out there as a kick returner, utilize that speed. We'll see how it goes. But definitely somebody that I think is probably not competing to be a backup from day one, but probably the backup to the backup, and maybe a few little specialty plays for him. I mean, it's very Keaton Mitchell-esque. It is, yeah. Keaton Mitchell-esque for him.
Yeah, Keaton Mitchell was the backup to Justice Hill, who was the real backup to Derrick Henry, or vice versa. Like, if Derrick Henry ever went down, then sure, Keaton Mitchell gets to play. But if he doesn't, he never gets the opportunity to really shine. Like, that's the way it goes for running backs of this particular archetype, as fun as they are. All right, we are going to take our last break of the show, which means it's going to do it for us here on the Yahoo Sports Network. However, we're going to keep going on YouTube if you're watching live with us there, as we hit some of these running backs that you need to know as the draft kind of approaches here. Just a few more names in the class. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, we're back. We're wrapping up our prospect preview here. And as we're going to do every week with these prospect previews, we're going to finish with Ray's diamond in the rough pick. So of the remaining running backs, Ray, we'll just kind of spotlight a few guys. We could do a couple at this position, however many you want to rip from this name, because this is what people love. Like, who's that running back who could come out of nowhere in my dynasty rookie draft and really surprise some people? I'll throw some names out here if you've got one or two that you want to highlight. We've got Roman Hemby. We've got Adam Randall, Le'Veon Moss, Jam Miller, Kalen Black, Seth McGowan, Robert Henry Jr., or Jamari Taylor. Any one, two, three of these guys really stand out to you?
I think we have to talk about Adam Randall a little bit. I think we have to discuss Adam Randall. A lot of people excited about him. Huge frame. I mean, we're talking about how big Mike Washington is. 6'3", 232. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Because Adam Randall has only played running back for 1 year. He was a receiver coming out of high school, had the knee injury, didn't quite work out at receiver. They're like, you know what? We're just going to hand you the ball. And there you go. He outproduced all his receiving numbers in one season as a running back, 10 touchdowns, 800 yards. Clemson was a mess this year overall. He's got an interesting profile, and there are some things to be, I guess, encouraged or enthused about. I'm having a hard time seeing how you figure out and learn how to play running back at the next level. Maybe it will work out for Adam Randall, and I'm sure hoping for it, because this was probably a move that he had to really humble himself and buy into to really make this thing work. But he is a full-fledged running back, great size, great speed to be that big. I just question his ability to play the position, because he just hasn't. In 1 year at the position, he was a wide receiver before that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a long way to go there, you know, and just, this is not a developmental league, right? It's like, hey, we're not trying, especially a running back. You know, we've seen guys like Izzy Abanaconda, right? Like, well, if he can just get developed, he's got all those athletic traits and the size and the speed. It's like, well, okay, he's been bouncing around on rosters and whatever. Like, he hadn't been developed, because they're not trying to develop the fourth string running back or whatever. They're trying to, NFL teams got other stuff to do. Like, it is what it is. So Adam Randall definitely has some skills. Obviously, the pass catching background is important to note, but really, to me, just somebody to kind of file away and sort of keep on the back burner there.
But you know how fantasy is, Matt. They love these. He's a former receiver, so if he can just seize the pass-catching role, but there's so much more to that pass-catching running back role than just being able to go out there and run routes. My comparison for him, he feels like the reverse version of Jalen Hurd. And for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, Jalen Hurd was like a 6'4" running back out of high school his first couple of years at Tennessee. Transfers to Baylor to switch to receiver. The Niners drafted him in the third round thinking they can do something. It's just hard when you're flip-flopping spots. It's hard enough to learn one spot, let alone two, at a very physical position. But fantasy football, they love their converted wide receiver running back. So Adam Randall will probably be somebody in rookie drafts, Matt, that's getting picked in round four that people are watching for on waivers. So I felt like we just had to kind of discuss him a little bit.
Yeah, it's a really good one to note. And yeah, he might be a guy that like there's a hype train for, and maybe you can package him during preseason if it gets crazy or whatever, or maybe it ends up working out for him. We shall see. Anyone else on this list that you think people should definitely take a note of, you know, you got a strong feeling about?
I'll give you two more. Jamari okay. Taylor out of Virginia is one of them. Very, yeah. very good, quick receiving back. He feels like one. I'm not going to say Kamani Vidal, but he feels like one that I can see him at some point earning a little role, and that opportunity might come at somebody's expense. There was an injury or two or three, and they're like, we got to get Taylor out there. And then they're like, hey, who's the kid from Houston that got some run this year?
Jawar Jordan.
Jawar Jordan, where you're like, okay, I'll pick him up.
We're talking about him on a waiver wire show. This is the guy I was going to, if you didn't spotlight, I was going to say exactly what you just said. They're like the Kamani Vidal types, the Sincere McCormick. Remember that? That's actually one of his athletic comparables too, on Mock Draftable. You know, the guy, or Jawar Jordan. Like, yeah, he never becomes like, oh man, this guy's starting running back or something, but like he's on rosters, he's hanging around, and like Justin Boone's talking about him on the waiver wire show. God willing, we're all doing this still in like 4 years.
Yeah, just so that's who he feels like. And then the other name I'm gonna just throw out there, because again, it was a transition year for Alabama. They couldn't really run the ball, but Jamarion Miller out of Alabama. He's got a nice NFL skill set, not to be a feature running back. Again, one of those guys is going to have to earn his keep, training camp, preseason. But Jam Miller can play. He can catch the ball. He can run between the tackles. Just one of those names that I'm warming up to as a late day three flyer. And when I'm thinking about the waivers, Matt, as you're going down that list, where's that one name and that one player that just catches your eye? And you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Okay, second running back, not a great system. Third running back, there could be some opportunity here. So I think Jam Miller out of Alabama would be the other one, along with Jamari Taylor. And of course, we talked about Adam Randall.
Yeah, I love it. This is a really interesting kind of group. And, you know, you never know. One of these guys could end up like, yeah, maybe he's not an NFL superstar, but he certainly has some moments in the league.
Let me give you one more, Matt. He wasn't on the list.
Yeah, go for it.
But there have been a couple of people say the kid out of Navy, Eli, something with an H. I can't pronounce his last name. Okay. Out of Navy, running back. They said, do not let Kyle Shanahan get this guy, because they're calling him like the souped up version of what Kyle Juszczyk is for the 49ers. Out of Navy, Eli, I cannot pronounce his last name.
Heidenreich?
You got hard H in there. You know, you got to get that. Like, you're kind of getting something out of your throat. But this is a kid.
Heidenreich. There we go.
There, athleticism is there. I'm just putting it, he's probably a better damn running back than some of the players on that list there. So just, I will keep an eye out for where Eli Heidenreich ends up. A very good player. And there's some Colt steam behind him as well.
Colt steam. We now like
Matt's
to see it.
Him up now.
Yes.
Yeah. Matt's digging right. into it. There's some. Yeah. Yeah.
84th percentile, 40 yard dash, 61st in the 10 yard split, threw up 16 reps on the bench press, 62nd percentile, vertical jump. Like, yeah, there's a little something to him. He hangs out on a roster. That's a good pull, Ray. That's a good pull.
Just file that one all the way away. Don't chart him, Matt. Don't chart him yet.
We don't have to worry about that.
Just keep him on the radar, baby.
All right, Ray. This has been awesome. Full on preview of this running back class. And like we said, on paper, maybe it's not the craziest class in the world, but Ray, I feel like we gave people what to look for just in case there are some opportunities for this class here. We appreciate you joining us as always, my friend.
Appreciate you. And that's what we're looking for. Opportunity to get an opportunity, especially with these later picks, day three running backs. We're looking for opportunity and some chance there. So appreciate you having me on, Matt.
All right, we are going to say goodbye to Ray here now, and it is time. It's time for us to throw to the interview here to Jonah Coleman. Great conversation with Jonah, one of the running back prospects as we broke down here today in this class. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now. Very excited to welcome to the show now one of the top running back prospects in this year's NFL draft. It is Jonah Coleman of University of Washington. Jonah, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I appreciate you guys having me.
No doubt, man. Pre-draft process, I'm sure it has been overwhelming. A lot going on. How are things going for you?
Pretty good. A lot of meetings. But it's exciting to be able to get on the meetings and, you know, talk with these coaches and be able to, you know, connect with them and share a little bit of my story and also talk ball with them. You know, I feel like you prep your whole life for, you know, these situations. So just being able to, you know, live in a moment is something that I've been doing.
When you come into these situations, is it more of a, hey, we're talking ball? Is it more of a job interview? What's the vibe been like so far?
Well, most of the vibe's been more so like, tell me a little bit about you. I talked to a, you know, majority of the teams at the combine. So usually when we hop in these meetings, we watching some football, and then they'll like go over an install, and then I'll just pretty much have to recite everything at the end. And it's all the same terminology for me. Same offense for me, because I was with Jed Fish, and it's just different terminology. So it's just easy to catch on. So a meeting's been going pretty good, but like we get in there, we talk ball, and then we laugh a little bit, joke around a little bit. Just, you know, fill each other out, catch each other's vibe. So it's been actually pretty good doing the meetings for sure.
Well, I've watched a lot of your content on your YouTube channel, other interviews with you so far. You seem like a pretty agreeable, easy guy to get along with. So I think that probably says something about you in addition to just the entire process. Has there been, and I don't want you to get like in trouble here, give us any inside information. Has there been, you know, maybe one meeting, one team that's kind of stuck out with you so far?
Honestly, I would probably say like the Commanders. They brought the offensive coordinator on there and be able to talk to him and stuff. But it was just all good vibes, you know, from them. And then got to see a guy I was working out with out here in Arizona, running back that signed with the Commanders. So he just so happened to be walking around while we was meeting, but got to chop it up with him. That was really cool. Also, Jacksonville Jaguars was, you know, really good. But I feel like all the meetings just been like really good vibes. You know what I mean? It's been a lot of energy. It's been fun, you know, for them to get to know me and me also getting to know them. The Seahawks visit was really good. I enjoyed spending time up there with coach and also meeting the GM and stuff, you know, talking to him a little bit, you know, having a little lunch with him. So it was great vibes up there in Seattle. But yeah, the whole process has been great, honestly.
That's great to hear. No, it's great to hear. And yeah, you're giving me some notes here to take down. I'm very excited about that David Blau offense there in Washington. So it's good to hear that you felt like things were kind of getting installed there pretty well. I want to talk about kind of just you as a running back here. I don't know how much you've seen like the rankings out there for pre-draft stuff. It's like everybody kind of has Jeremiah Love at the top, but there's not really a consensus for that second running back spot. So if I was to ask Jonah Coleman, give me the pitch on why are you the second best, or maybe you even think you're the best running back in this class. Like, what are people getting with you as a running back here?
I mean, you get everything that you want in a running back. You're getting a great teammate, you know, most importantly, you're getting the guy who can play all four downs. You know, people say three down backs. Sometimes, you know, this new league, you know, you playing four downs out there. So, you know, I can play four downs. I can do anything that you need me to do as a runner, you know, like catch the ball, pick up blitzes. And I know people see me picking up blitzes. I made a little cut up of me picking up blitzes and, you know, catching the ball. Not many people really know how well I catch the ball. So I'm excited to display that, you know, when I get the opportunity at the next level. And I'm just different, you know, like there's no one really built like me. I feel like my mindset, my work ethic and the energy and the enthusiasm that I would, you know, bring to a locker room is going to ultimately make the team better. So that's what you want. That's what you want from a draft pick. You want someone who's going to come in there and make a team better. So I have experience of being a starting running back. I have experience of not being a starting running back. So I have experience of being the number one guy. I experience being the number two guy. I experience being the number three guy. So you got all this experience and all this knowledge and stuff like that. Like, knowledge is power. So just being able to have all that, you know, I'm ready for any situation I'm going into.
Hey, Jonah, let me tell you what, that four down back right at the top, great answer. That was great. That was good branding by you. I'm a four down back. I absolutely love that answer. And you kind of highlighted this here with your answer. One thing that's really stood out to me watching your film, looking over everything that you did in college, you just kind of succeeded all the quieter parts of the position. Just one fumble over your entire 4-year career. That is incredibly impressive. You mentioned picking up blitzes, pass protection. That's a huge part of it. 0.9% career drop rate. Like when that football gets in the vicinity, you're catching that thing. So tons of the kind of quieter parts, like we all see big runs, you know, scoring touchdowns, putting up stats and all that, but kind of talk to me about like ball security, picking up blitzes. What sort of goes into that from a preparation standpoint?
Well, ball security is job security. You don't hold on to the ball, you know, it's no way we're going to be able to trust you, you know? And picking up blitzes was something that I learned when I was a freshman. Coach Graham, in the recruiting process, said, Jonah, all you got to do is come here, compete, and pick up blitzes, you're going to play. And that's something that I embody. I'm going to go in here, I'm going to go compete, and I'm going to pick up these blitzes. So it was no question how I knew how to get on the field. He gave me the answers to the test. Mm. So all I got to do is go do it. And I feel like I made the quote, like, you're paying a quarterback $100 million, you know, probably more than that. And you're a running back, you're getting paid, you know, $2 million, you know, the market value, however it works out. It don't matter how it's working out. He's getting paid more than you at the end of the day. And your job, it's your job to protect that quarterback. The big guys up front get paid to protect that quarterback. And your running back, you get paid to protect that quarterback as well. If you want to play every single down, this is why it's called a four down back. Like, we may throw the ball on 4th and 3. It's going to be a blitz coming on 4th and 3. I don't know who's not going to blitz on 4th and 3. There's going to be a blitz on 3rd and 6. You want to go to the sideline or you want to stay on the field and do your job. I feel like it's just part of doing your job, and I'm really big on doing my job. So that's just part of being a running back. Part of being a running back is picking up blitzes. You see everyone in the league do it. So if I want to play there, I just always try to think about the little things that separate me as a running back. Like, I'm going to get my nose dirty and do the things that a lot of people don't talk about, like pick up blitzes or get that 4th and 1, get that 4th and 2, little things like you said, like I do the quieter things. That's what makes me different.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, listen, we love to see running backs put up fantasy points, get out there and score touchdowns, yards and all that. In order to do that, the coach has got to trust you. And I watched this guy against Ohio State lay the wood on Sonny Styles, who might be like a top 5 pick in the NFL draft on a great block. I know coaches are going to be excited to have Jonah Coleman on the field. So that is great to see from you. What's something you think is sort of maybe misunderstood about running back play by the general public?
I just feel like getting into the open space and obviously getting a home run, how challenging that is. Mm. I feel like it takes really pretty much all 11 to really get down there. Like, obviously I came back to be a home run hitter to show people I can hit home runs. And, you know, ultimately it just didn't happen. Sometimes it just doesn't happen as often as you want it. And, you know, running backs, they know that, like all the 70-yard, 80-yard touchdowns, like think about how many of those are in the league throughout the year. How many of those show up week to week? Like, it's not consistent. Like, even 40-yard runs, it's not something that consistently hits. I consistently get 15-yard runs. I consistently get 10-yard runs. I consistently move the chain. So if you're able to consistently do something, that's ultimately how you gain the trust of that coach, something that you just do so consistent, you know. And I feel like if I can be consistent in the areas that matter the most, you know what I mean, that can separate me. And when it is time to go hit a 40-yard run, go do it. Because you can always, you know, tweak and do something better on runs, but I feel like it's really challenging to do. So just being able to not chase that, because when you do chase that, that's when you make bad reads, you make bad cuts and stuff like that. And just because you're chasing something that's bigger, you know what I mean? So just being able to, like, as a runner, if you play running back, you know, it's really challenging to get out there. And when you're out there in the open field, it feels like it's 0.5 seconds. So being able to stay calm and breathe like a sniper and get to the second level is something that you have to do. When I say breathe like a sniper, you have to literally match the breath of the defensive back that's coming to tackle you. That's how you make them miss. Just being able to breathe like him, slow your mind down, be able to slow everything down and then make a move. See guys get in open space and they panic or stutter. That's because they're not slowing their mind down, think they got a rush, they don't have enough time. So I would definitely say getting out of an open field and running is definitely challenging, but just find something that you're consistent to do. And then when opportunities like that present itself, just being able to exploit it.
Yeah, it's all about kind of trying to react to the defense, everything. I have a friend in the industry who talks about running backs like, he takes it to the corner store too much, takes it to the corner store too much. He's trying to bounce it to the outside, trying to get to that open field instead of just, like you said, reading things out, hitting the hole, getting north-south. You mentioned when it comes to breaking those long runs, it takes all 11. It takes wide receivers blocking. It takes the whole thing to come together. My big thing in the industry is I study wide receivers pretty intensely. That's a position that I focus on. You've got a teammate there at Washington, Denzel Boston, in the draft this year. Tell the people something about Denzel, that whether it's player, person, whatever, that they might not know about. Kind of give us the scouting report on him.
I mean, just his practice habits shows up consistently, you know, over the weeks. The way he practices butt off. If you are an NFL scout and you have been to a Washington practice and you see Denzel Boston practice, I guarantee that they write on their noteboard that this might be the hardest practicing receiver I've ever seen. Mm. He's so detail oriented in, you know, everything he does, and he wants to be perfect, you know, so bad. He wants to be great so bad, and he wants to be good so bad. Like, and you know, just spending a lot more time with him, like at the Adidas shoot we just had, and even at the combine, he was my roommate. You can really see how bad he wants it, and how, like I said, how detail oriented he is. Obviously, when you cut the tape on, you get what you get, and you know, when he puts the cleats on, you get what you get. You know what I mean? Like, he's gonna catch the ball, he's gonna attack, he's gonna dominate, and he's fast, he's physical, he's everything that you want a wide receiver one. So he's a guy. He's a wide receiver one in my opinion, and he's a guy that you want on your team. Whether if it's, you know, he's a great teammate. He has a couple reps of playing special teams after he was a starting receiver. So a selfless guy ultimately that you want in your locker room, and a great human being. You know, he's always reliable. I've been on Denzel since I was a sophomore in high school. I met him randomly on a 7-on-7 trip, and you know, I tried to get him to come to Arizona when I committed there as a freshman, but ultimately reconnected in Washington because he ended up going there. But the bond that we built, you know, was something strong and at a young age. So when I went to Washington, I already knew Denzel and how he was as a person. So it was no doubt in my mind that when he got his opportunity after Rome and those guys came, that he was going to do what he do. So in my opinion, he's a wide receiver one. He's everything you want in a receiver: fast, physical, going high point the ball. He blocks his butt off and do all the little things that, you know, people may not see.
Yeah, you mentioned those details. We can all see just the highlight reel. He's making those contested catches, tight coverage wins. I think he's a really underrated route runner. You know, sometimes people see those big receivers, they see the jump, it's like, oh, he can't really separate. This is a guy I think you see win pretty well off the line of scrimmage, get open down the football field. So that's a good scouting report. Last thing for you here, Jonah, before we let you go, because I know you're busy. Just one thing I love during the pre-draft process is kind of getting to know you guys, not just as players and you know, numbers on a spreadsheet or anything, but really get to know you guys as people. So tell the NFL fans out there something about Jonah Coleman as a person that they might not know that you'd like them to know.
Well, not many people know that I used to box. I used to be a boxer. So I really like, and I still do a little bit of it today just to, you know, stay in shape. And it really teach you how to think when you pass exhaustion. Like I said, it's a mind thing. And a lot of that, I was doing a lot of that when, you know, I was doing a cutting down. I was doing a lot of boxing with our coach, Ben Kramer, back at Washington. He does like a lot of hand fighting and stuff like that. Works with a couple of NFL guys as well. But boxing is something that I really enjoy doing. Like I said, teach you how to think when you're tired. It's also very technical, and I'm a very detailed guy. And, you know, I'm a competitor, and it's something that I can compete in. I was doing it when I was younger because I wanted to, you know, stay in shape. That's ultimately what I got into it for. But I ultimately started liking it and was doing it more than I was supposed to be doing. I was just supposed to be conditioning in there, but I'm in there, you know, doing everything, trying to get a spar going and everything, you know. So I really like boxing. That's something that I'm interested in. So when it's fight night, I'm tuned in. And I would say I'm a good color. like color. I'm really good like doing art stuff like that. I don't know how. I just, you know, kind of something that I figured out on
my own. Do you like to work? What are we working with here? Like paint?
I'm more of like, I like color pencils. I like color pencils. And I like the alcohol markers. I like using those. So I'm really good at, you know, coloring stuff like that in with those materials.
Are you good? Like, I mean, as a running back, you got to find the rushing lanes and stuff. Are you good about coloring inside the lines, or are you more of a freestyle guy?
I'm more of a color inside the lines, make it all neat. And I hate when it goes outside the line. I feel like it ruins the whole entire image, no matter how far you are into it. So I'm very detailed. And if it's in the line or out the line, and then if it is out the line, I try to figure out every possible way to, you know, make it seem like it wasn't supposed to go out. So I'm very detailed and like a brain guy when it comes to like coloring. I just don't want my stuff looking all tacky and stuff, but I'm really good at it though. Like I said, something I enjoy doing. I take pride in it, and it really clears my mind. Like, you know, you got all this stuff going on, especially during this process. So just being able to do little things like that to take my mind off that, you know, I escape it certain ways.
Well, I mean, we'd love to get a look at some of your coloring, some of your artwork someday, Jonah. That would be pretty awesome. I will tell you this. I haven't colored in years. I was awful. I was never good at staying inside the lines. Like, some of my stuff is just, it's embarrassing. Like, I have a niece. I'll try to do some stuff with her every now and again. She's 3 years old. Her stuff looks better than me. So you can carry the burden for that, for us on that one.
Most definitely. I got a lot of nieces and nephews, so doing little crafts and things like that, something I'm always doing. You know, or just playing around and around the house. But I have 15 nieces, 6 nephews. So when I go back home, it's big family, you know, they're all babies. So, you know, just being able to play with them is also fun as well.
Jonah Coleman, he's a boxer. He's a colorer. He's about to be drafted in the NFL. Pretty exciting stuff, Jonah. Appreciate you taking the time, man. Good luck through the rest of this process.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure, you know, being on here.
What a time. Great conversation with Jonah Coleman. He's a colorer. He's an NFL running back here pretty soon. Somebody we might be playing in fantasy football here in short order. Great episode altogether. Shout out to Jonah. Shout out to Ray Garvin for an electric running back prospect preview show. This show will be back. This show will be back on Monday with another edition of Mock Draft Monday with Josh Norris of Underdog. Yes, mock drafts. Josh Norris goes hand in hand. I'm sure he'll be bragging about his once most accurate mock draft on this very show here when we do that on Monday. That's going to be a great show. And then on Tuesday, Scott Pienowski joins me to fill in for Justin Boone as we continue our teams that will shape the draft series by looking at the contenders. Yes, that's right. Scott, he's got baseball going on. That's fine. We got to talk about football. We got to talk about important things with Scott on this show. These are the teams that are one good draft away from potentially winning it all. That's going to be live right here at 2 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday on YouTube. Until then, we are out.